Blog Talk Radio.
Gloria, touching me, do you love it in me?
Trusting him. believe in God. So we're going to get started on today. I'm going to be coming before you. So let us pray before we get started. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you and I bless you. I lift up and give you the highest praise, oh God. I thank you for your word, God. Lord, I thank you for your word every day. I thank you for what you have done in my life and the lives of people on this call, God. I thank you, God, for just loving us, God, and for keeping us, God. But most of all, we thank you for your son, Jesus, who died across our sins. You said that word, thou shalt confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe that you have raised your son from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen, God. So I know we're going to be talking about the little girl in me, and this is a part of my book that I had written, and I love that part of the book, and my mom had read some of it on last week, and it's so amazing because just thinking back the little girl in me, when you think back of all those things on the inside of you when you were young and your dreams that you had, you know, for maybe to own this here big business or to own a franchise or to have this beautiful wedding or a job, you know, or don't live in the same state that you live in now. Whatever your dreams were for you as a little girl, we all dreamed as little girls playing with our Barbie dolls and our Barbie doll dream house, just playing. And even if you didn't have a Barbie doll dream house, you had something where you actually had a vision and you was actually at a place where you can dream about how you wanted your life to be when you got older. And then sometimes life for us didn't pan out to the little girl in these dreams, but God has better and greater dreams for us. And even sometimes, what I said on last week, when we step out of disobedience to God and our life went in a different direction, don't you know that God is able? He knew you was going to do it before you even did it, and he's able to bring you back into a place where you can get back on track. So even some of us may feel we're not on track. Don't you know that you are on track? God knew what you was going to do before you was going to do it. I'm not talking about the sin against God, but I'm talking about we feel like we fell so far off. There's no way we can get to our destiny, no way we can get to our purpose. Let me tell you something. Oh, yes, God knows, because he knows us, and he knows how to get you back on track. So even if you go to the right and you go to the left, he will bring you back where you need to go. So that's what takes us to our scripture for today, which says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts to give you peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Why? Because he knows the plans that he had for us. Jesus knows the plans that he had for our lives. Amen. And even though sometimes we may go in a different way, God knows everything, and he knows which way that we should go. Amen. So I just wanted to say to you on today, you know, be encouraged and know that God is on your side, knowing that you may feel like, Lord, in this pandemic that I am in, it's no way that I can still dream. Oh, yes, you can dream. For one, you want to stop worrying, because God has us and he has us covered. A lot of us are worrying in the place that we are now, worrying. But I bless God, because don't you know you're not going to lose your home? Even though you may think that you're going to lose your home, don't you know God is able to keep everything back on track? Hallelujah. Don't you know, look, I have been there where I thought they was going to foreclose on my home and where was me and my children going to go. But God, hallelujah, but God turned that whole situation around. So I'm telling you as a witness, when you trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. So even if you feel like you fell off, even you feel like, Lord, I haven't been a good steward over my finances, don't you know God is able to correct that thing for you when you allow him to? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get into some classes, some financial classes. I know Santa Gooden, Pastor Joshua Gooden daughter, hold those classes when you want to get your finances back in order. Amen. But I want to read from Jeremiah 29:11 from the NIV version, and it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you peace. Plans to give you hope and the future. So God knows the plans he has for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. But plans to give you hope and the future. So even though we're going through different things right now, God's plan is not to harm us, but his plan is to give us hope and a future. Hallelujah. Because he knows. He knows all things. And I'm just and have everlasting life. Hallelujah. He died for you. He died for me. He died for everybody who wanted to accept him. And I accept him on today. You all need to accept him. If anybody who's not sure of their salvation, you can always email me at hopevictorious2@gmail.com, or you can inbox me on Facebook at Hope Victorious or IG hopevictorious2. Hallelujah. So we're going to get started. My mom is going to read a portion of my book. I'm going to bring her in. So we bless God. Those who don't have my book, you can still have time to purchase it on Amazon. Or if you invite me, I can mail a book out to you. Amen? So I'm going to bring my mom in, and she'll press one. I bring her in. I'm just so super excited, you guys. I am. Because I just know that God is so faithful. So I'm going to have her read a portion of it. And you know, for the longest time, even though some of my dreams didn't go in the direction or went the way I wanted it to go, I was so angry. And I got to a point where I felt like I was so angry. And I was like, Lord, as I got over my anger, then I had learned to be upset with God because my dreams and goals didn't go in the way where I thought it should go. I had to say, God, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for being angry towards you, Father. You know, you didn't tell me to say I do. You didn't tell me to go down that road. You was trying to protect me and told me, don't do it, and I still did it anyway. But I thank God for his saving grace. I thank God for delivering me. But it don't even have to be because of a relationship. It could be because you went down, God told you not to take the job, and you took it anyway. He told you not to buy that car or that house, and you bought it anyway. But let me tell you something. God will make a bad situation to a good situation. He will turn things around for our good, even in our disobedience. One of the things that we are on the prayer line this morning with St. Paul Chapel, you need to join us every Tuesday, or even join us on Sunday morning, St. Paul Chapel Baptist Church, 11 o'clock, the service for 11:15. But this morning, I was talking about Nehemiah, and I was saying how Nehemiah prayed about everything. He did everything perfect. You know why? Because he was ordained to do it by God, and he gave everything over to God. And he sought him for everything. He sought him, where do I get my resources from? What kind of team should I have, hallelujah, to help me with this project? It's something how we start grabbing people and who's not even supposed to be on our team because they are friends. No, it's not about friendship. It's about who God told you to bring on to help you with your team. But we don't want to hurt people's feelings because we've been knowing them for so long. And let me tell you, when they are your friends, they're going to stick by you. Even when you select a whole other team, they're going to be there for you. You know, before I have, and I had events, and I might not ask some of my preacher friends, you know, to come and be on the panelists, but guess what? They still come and support. It's not their time to do it. It's not their time, but they got so much other work. They just want to come and support. Amen. That's when you know there's your true friends. When you planning something and folks start dropping off because you didn't ask them to come or you didn't ask them to be a part. Well, maybe they're not supposed to be a part for that particular project. Doesn't mean that they won't ever come on board again. So don't get caught up. And sometimes we hinder ourselves because we're afraid of leaving folk out. Oh, I didn't ask for doing. I know this is their expertise. Well, guess what? They're not the only person in the world who has that same expertise. Sometimes God calls you to call on somebody else. But guess what? Call who God tells you to call on. Amen. Hallelujah. That just dropped in my spirit. And I just had to share that. So let me bring my mom in. Mom?
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Hi. Amen. God bless you, Mom.
Amen, amen. I'm going to start with just a verse above. The scripture says, it's amazing at times when feeling so low and I turn right to a scripture that fits my situation. That really blows my mind. God always let me know he's with me through my shattered times. When I read Isaiah 54, verses 6 and 7, it says, for the Lord hath called thee as a woman, forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast confused, says thou Lord. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. It's Isaiah 54, verses 6 and 7. God spoke right to my heart, and I knew that was my situation. Now I had to get over the big disappointment and forgive myself for my disobedience. I had to forgive myself for stepping out before his timing and getting married, but most of all for not listening to God for his direction. It's something how God still pushes you in the direction he wants you to go, even through your disobedience to him, even through all of his of this. I always felt God calling me into full-time ministry long before marriage. So I shared my dreams with my husband while we were still engaged and thought when the time was right, it would be okay. I believe that because of his previous enthusiasm and supportive words, things would be fine. Faint not. 2 Corinthians 4:16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 4:16.
Amen.
Do you want
Mom,
me to read
what page
on?
No, what page you on, Mom?
26.
Okay, so those who have the book is page 26, A Little Girl and Me. But I, as she was reading, it was something how I was just speaking about that, being disobedient to God. You hear my mind? Being disobedient to God, but God still pushes you in a direction where he wants you to go. He still pushes you where he wants you to go. And even though it feels like the inward man perishes, but God still lives, y'all, I'm telling you, he still pushes you in a direction where he wants you to go. And it's so amazing because through my disobedience of not being obedient to him, he didn't toss me away, and he didn't get angry with me because I made a wrong decision, but he was right there with me. But let me tell you, I repented quickly. Do you hear me? God, forgive me for my sins, God, for I sinned against you, God, by being disobedient. Because sometimes you can want something so bad. You can want that pocketbook that you know that you want so bad, knowing it costs $200-$300, and you're going to get it knowing that you got an electric bill that's due, and you saying, I'm going to get this bag, and maybe I can work out a payment arrangement. Then we get mad at God when we call an electric company, and they say, no, you can't make out no arrangements with this one today. Mm-hmm. Then, but you got a beautiful bag sitting at home. So it don't always have to be a relationship and your disobedience to God. It could be something like that, which is disobedience. You know you're supposed to be a good steward over your finances. Hallelujah. But then we get mad at God when things don't work out, how it should work out, how we still know it should work out. But that Jeremiah 29 says, 29:11, I know the plans I have for you. He knows the plans he has to prosper you. Hallelujah. But not to harm you. Because sometimes when we hit a rock place, a heart or end, we may think it's the end. We get angry and we be like, Lord, are you trying to hurt me? No, God is not trying to hurt you. Even in this pandemic, he's not trying to harm you. Hallelujah. We don't know why this is going on, but what we do know is that our hope is in God. What we do know is that our trust is in the Lord. That's what we do know as believers. And how about people is calling the name of the Lord who ain't never called on them before? Hallelujah. So I just trust God. No, we don't know why this is going on. Yes, and I don't know, but I God allowed it to happen. But in the midst of it happening, I'm not saying that he caused it, but he allowed it to happen. But guess what? I know that he's in the midst. I know I still see him when the sun is shining. I know I still feel him when it's raining outside. Hallelujah. I know I hear him when the birds is chirping. Because even though it's a silence over the land, I still feel God. I still see him. I still have hope because my hope don't lie in man. My hope lie in God. Hallelujah. Even through my disobedience and going down the wrong road, my hope still was in the Lord. God, deliver me from this because this ain't right now, God. That my life is on the line. Hallelujah. My life was on the line. But God still reached way down. See, God's arms are not too short that he can't reach you. So don't ever feel like you hit a rock place that you can't come up from underneath the rock. God has enough strength to pick that rock up, to lift his child from underneath it, and have you to go on. So stop beating yourself up if things didn't work out. Lord, this is my second marriage. This ain't working. This is my third marriage. This ain't working. This is my 18th job, and this is not working. Well, guess what? Keep working it out. Hallelujah. Keep seeking God and asking God and working it out. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Now, read that last scripture, and then you can go on in again.
The last scripture was
Second Corinthians
4:16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A couple of years later after marriage, I began to feel restless and feeling the Lord was saying that it was time for me to go into full-time ministry. When I discussed it with him, his response wasn't the same as it was when we were engaged. I struggled so much with the Lord tugging at my spirit to go full-time and my husband not on one accord. I began to ignore God and turn a deaf ear and ignore the feeling of restlessness and God wanting more out of me. I couldn't stand the treatment I would get from my husband being angry with me coming out of work and being ignored at home, feeling like I was alone, even though he was in the same house with me. Because I chose to ignore God's call to do full-time ministry, I began to feel distance between God and me, and that was not a great feeling, not to feel his presence. I went along with my normal life and doing ministry in the way I thought would keep peace in my marriage. Though the marriage was at war, this was something else I let him strip me of, and any type of ministry was forbidden. I turned down many preaching engagements because of the arguments, and later I stepped down from the teen ministry. It was war in my home to do those things that I loved, and God called me to these things before marriage. I never thought what was so respected during our engagement would be forbidden after marriage. In other words, I thought I would be supported in ministry by my husband, so I stepped down from the teen ministry and the missionary board just to keep peace. Because of the turmoil in my home, I felt that I was no longer effective in ministry. Looking back, I was so hurt by stepping down. A lot of the teens were upset and heartbroken, but at the time I felt that I had to keep the peace in my home and someone else would give them what they needed. I continued my singing ministry, but not in the way the Lord called. I started to fill a void between myself and God, and I know now that it was because of my disobedience to him. One Sunday afternoon, while I was waiting for second church service to start, I shared with one of my friends that I felt God called me into full-time ministry, and I asked her to pray with me. And as I was reading my Bible and waiting for service to begin, I was reading my Bible. I saw the scripture, Isaiah 47:10. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness, thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. Isaiah 47:10. I prayed and asked God to soften my husband's heart so I could do what God called me to do. I never wanted to trust in my own wisdom and ignore God's call, but trust in the wisdom and knowledge of God to fix his heart. I also wanted to stop his warring against me so I could do full-time ministry and be used in the kingdom. That was a rough place to be. I tried to do what God called me to do before marriage, and now I had to fight every day just to do ministry. This was not an easy task. My heart felt like it was being ripped apart. Okay, Lord, what do I do now? You have impaired vision. It will only get worse. The doctor's words were hard. What am I supposed to do now, I thought. I could barely speak. This was all I needed. In the midst of trying to figure things out with my failing marriage, my vision was fading. Okay, what do I do now? So many thoughts raced through my mind, and as I began to feel sorry for myself, my Lord strengthened me. It was as if I could feel his arms around me. He engaged me not to give up. He encouraged me not to give up. He said that he would be my eyes. Oh, how I love the Lord. I'm never alone. He's my best friend. I decided that I wouldn't let this news keep me down. I remember my dad looking so sad when I told him. I could tell that he was worried about me. As time went on, my dad felt better because he saw I didn't let my situation get the best of me. I decided not to just sit in the house after coming out of work because of my failing vision and feel sorry for myself. I started feeding the homeless on a regular basis, evangelizing witness to men and women on the streets, visiting the nursing homes, and ministering to women in broken relationships. I did ministry during the day while my husband was at work because anything in the evening while he was home would cause a huge argument. Wow, look at God moving. Before I knew it, I was doing full-time ministry. My heart rejoiced, and that took away the pain and disappointment of being visually impaired. God knows what we need through any situation. He is God. You want me to read the scripture?
Yeah, you can read Psalm
55. Yeah, Psalm 55:18-19. He has delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. Psalms 55:18-19. We can feel disobedient to God because of our choices and feel no peace, but encourage and trust God. He will deliver. Say the Lord, I bless you. Read and hear of his word.
God.
Amen.
Woo.
Amen. He will deliver.
Amen. Thank you, Mom. God. Oh, my God. Let me tell you, God is so powerful. And the reason why I'm excited and I'm happy, because God, only God. See, I didn't cry my last year. So anytime that I cry is because tears of joy. But I know what it feels like to be in a situation. I was doing team ministry. I had to step down from team ministry. I stepped down from the missionary board. I had to step down from some people know I stepped down, but I know why I stepped down. I stepped down because there was so much turmoil in my home. It was so much turmoil in my home. So I couldn't do ministry because it would cause so much disruption in my home. But God let me know. But then I felt me being disobedient to God because I know what he called me to do. And instead of trusting him, but then I stepped out. And then on top of couldn't do ministry anymore, I found out I was visually impaired. So that was a double whammy. So when you feel like, and at one point I'm feeling like, Lord, I have nobody. When I come home, I can't talk about ministry, can't do ministry. The kids, teens can't call me on the phone anymore. They can't come to the house anymore. Lord, what do I do now? The missionary board, I can't do that anymore because it's causing too much havoc in my home. So I let all that stuff go. Now, did God want me to let it go? Probably not. And that's where I felt the distance between me and the Lord. I felt like, God, well, what I do now, Lord, because who I'm obedient to? God said, I am God. I am he. I'm over him. Hallelujah. So I wind up. Thank you, Mom. That was the end of the chapter, Mom?
Yes, that was the end of that chapter.
Okay.
That's
amen.
The
you,
end
Mom.
Is on page 31.
Was you okay. finished reading?
Yes, yes, that was the end
okay.
of that chapter.
Amen. Amen, amen, Mom. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Amen. Amen. So I'm saying to you that it was so crazy because I was tripping. Have you ever been in a place where you couldn't do ministry because there's so much going on? You can't keep your focus. Well, I was focused, but I couldn't do it because he didn't want me to do ministry anymore. Because it was nothing but the enemy of the jealousy of my ex-husband, the jealousy in him not wanting me to do it. You know, I would get up, he would get upset with me because I was the worship leader. They didn't ask him to be the worship leader. I went through a tough time, and on the inside, I'm burning and I'm yearning because of my compassion I have for the team. Because of my compassion, I had visiting the sick and the shut in. Oh my goodness, nobody knew what was going on in my home, but I knew what was going on in my home. It tore me to pieces for me to have to separate myself from those teams. To separate myself from those teams, it hurt my heart. But God sent another ram in the bush to be able to work with those teens, but it almost destroyed me. I had to stop working with those kids because it caused too much. They couldn't come to my home. I couldn't talk to them on the phone. But I trust the name of the Lord. So when I became, God, thank you. When I became visually impaired, I came out of work. Well, so while he was working, I was able to work during the day, going to the shelters, going up to the nursing home, being home before he got home. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Let me tell you something. I would clean up the house and go to bed like 6 engaging, but I had to give up. Someone called me, asked me to do all my prayer. Couldn't do that. Oh, my God. I'm like, Lord, I am giving up everything because he don't want me to preach. He don't want me to teach your people. Hallelujah. But I bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Maybe that's why I yell so much. Hallelujah. Maybe that's why I praise him so much. Hallelujah. Because when you've been in a place where you've been shut down, hallelujah, can't do ministry, can't worship, can't do street ministry anymore, can't minister to God's people. Hallelujah. Can't get the plan of salvation. But hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory, glory, glory. Let me tell you something. No good thing when he holds us to do what's up right before the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. So you keep on peddling. You keep on moving. You keep on pushing. Even when they say no, you can't. And how about even deeper than that? Some of us have been shut down in churches. We can't do anything. We got to sit there like a bump on the log. We can't pray. We forget what you still can do something because that neighbor that's outside on the corner or that person on the corner, you can start witnessing to them. They can't shut your mouth up when you're witnessing to people. Hallelujah. So if you feel like you've been shut down in ministry, you've been shut down when folk ain't using you no more, don't you know you can still be used while you're sitting there at work? Hallelujah. When you walk into the grocery, when you go into the grocery store and you sharing the gospel and you giving them the plan of salvation, hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. And on top of that, my business starts failing me. So in the midst of me being stripped from ministry, now I get a bad report from the doctor. But whose report will you believe? I believe the report of the Lord. So in spite of what the doctor said, I know I can see. Why? Because Jesus has 20/20 vision. So I will look towards the hills which come of my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Hallelujah, Jesus. So you got to find a place in the Lord. You got to get your strength in God. Because he's the only one who can direct you. Some of us feel like, Lord, we are so being so oppressed. We can't read. We can't think. We can't pray. Some of us feel like we can't even pray. But let me tell you, it happened times when I felt like I couldn't pray. But honey, when you get on your knees and you begin to just worship and not say nothing, don't you know the Holy Spirit will take it with moaning and groaning to the Lord? He will interpret it for you. Hallelujah, with groaning and moaning. Hallelujah. So even if you feel like you can't pray, still get on your knees. Still look into the hills which come at your help. Know that the help comes from the Lord. Still get on your knees. Still stay there and just begin to rock and just begin to hum. Just begin to moan and groan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God knows everything. He knows everything. So even when you feel like you can't get up, even when you feel like you can't sing and do what you used to do. I watched Deacon Murchison sometimes, and when his vision and has failed from two, but it's okay because he knows Jesus didn't fail him. So he's still able to find a place to stand in the pew, a flat foot and sing. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. See, don't let nothing keep you. See, I don't let my impairment keep me from doing what God called me to be, because he is my eyes. He is my rock and my salvation. Hallelujah. But see, it was only going to be for a little while that I wasn't able to preach and teach anymore. It was only going to be for a little while. But see, even though he may have meant it for my bad, God meant it for my good. Because then God, when he shifted me from a teen ministry, then when I started going through some things, I started ministering to women. God gave me a passion. But see, he redirected my path. And I couldn't see it then. So even though that devil may have thought it was for bad, God said, I'm going to work this out for her good. Because now I've given her a new charge. I gave her another gift. I gave her a new passion, a new gift. the missionary board anymore. God, start building up another ministry birthing on the inside of me. Hallelujah. Birthing on the inside of me where I was able to minister to women. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God turns around for his good, where he will get the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to trust God that much to give things over to him. Hallelujah. Just like some of you are birthing something right now, and it seems like something's been shut up. But God is rebirthing some things on the inside of you so you can give birth to that dream. And he's just preparing you. He's preparing you. He's preparing you. He is preparing you. I don't care how old you are on my call. He's preparing you. You may be older in age, but God still has a work for you. I probably may not be able to get out. My eyesight may not be able to get out, but they able to get on the phone and call and cover somebody. Hallelujah. See, it ain't over till God says that it's over. Hallelujah. My lines are open. If you want to press 1, I'll take your call before my broadcast is ended. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory, glory, glory be to God. Hallelujah, God, hallelujah, Jesus, thank you. Hallelujah, God, hallelujah. I'm going to see, if you press 1, I'll take your call. You can just comment or whatever you want to comment and say. The ones who have dialed in, amen. God is so faithful, y'all, and he is so good. I just love him. So those who feel like they may be oppressed right now, those who feel like I can't even get a prayer through, those who may feel like, Lord, where am I going to do now, Father? Is this it for me? I feel you shifting me. I feel you shifting me, God. But where do I go in the shift? Well, what you do in the shift is that you wait on the Lord. What you do in the shift is you just continue to pray and continue to seek God. Allow him to shift you and don't fight it. See, when I got shut down from those two ministries, let me tell you something. I didn't fight it. I said, okay. And then God started birthing something on the inside of me because I let go of all of that. I let God fight my battle for me. And even when they were fighting up against me and warring against me in my home, I let God do it for me. So I did not allow my vision to affect me and hear all this bad news. Had to step down for ministry. Now, Lord, I'm going blind. I can't see now. Hallelujah. But then my father, my biological father, my father, when my dad, when he seen that I was okay and I was still moving and shaking, even with the doctor's test to me, it made him feel okay. I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Why? Jesus is my Savior. He is my comforter. Half of y'all probably don't even know I'm just being peered because I don't let you know I just keep on moving. This thing ain't got me. I got it. Hallelujah. And I'm not what they said I am. Hallelujah. God is amazing, and I trust him that much. I trust him, but I feel like there's someone that feels like they're going through a shift. Don't fight the shift. Don't fight the wave, because sometimes we buck up against the wave. We don't know what God is doing to us or for us because it's comfortable doing certain things. Well, guess what? You got all kind of gifts and talents on the inside of you. Just allow it to flow. Allow it to flow. Allow it to flow. I remember God some years ago, he gave me a dream. I was sitting on the edge of my bed and I was pregnant. And I said, and it felt like I was going to lose this baby and if I didn't push. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. If I did not push. So I went to our father in the ministry and I said, listen, I said, God gave me a dream and I was pregnant. And I was big, and I felt like, I don't know what that meant. You know what he said? He said, you know what that dream means. You know what that dream meant. And guess what? I didn't know. Because if I didn't push, I wouldn't have had that baby. But because I pushed, God started birthing all kind of ministries on the inside of me. So God was letting me know, if you don't push, that's like something is going to die. If you don't push, you're going to die. You won't die with it. But guess what? I pushed. And what came out was a baby. What came out was my dream. What came out was another ministry. Hallelujah. What came out was another ministry because I pushed. Hallelujah. But I was sitting there, because I don't know what and what not pushed, but I knew that it was something on the inside of me. But maybe I was too fearful, but God was letting me know, if you don't push, you're going to die. Because it can't stay up in you. Woo, glory be to God. It can't stay up in you. You got to push. Hallelujah. And I pushed. lost. I read Jeremiah 29:11 because Jeremiah the prophet was telling those who were in captivity, for those who were being oppressed, he said, pray for your leaders, pray for the governors, pray for them so you will have peace. He said, but in that situation that you're in, he said, I still want you to marry. I still want you to have kids. I still want you to enjoy your life because it's not going to be like that always. You will come out of this thing. You will come out of being in captivity. You will come out of being oppressed. So that's the letter that Jeremiah sent to them to be encouraged. And that's what he said, that God knows the plans that he has for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future, a hope, and a future. Hallelujah. So don't be dismayed on today. Don't be discouraged. Ask God to help you to touch your mind, that he will free your mind. And that baby that you carry right now, that dream, that ministry you carry on the inside, you better push, honey. You better push until something happens. You better push past your pain. Hallelujah, because when you're in the delivery room and those contractions come, they tell you to push. Yes, it seems weird for them to tell you to push through your pain, but push through your pain. So joy to come. Hallelujah. So joy to come. For weeping may endure for night, but joy cometh in the morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My broadcast has been ready to end. I love you guys so much. Thank you to my mom who have read The Little Girl in Me. Just want to make sure I have no one else that press one on the call. God is so indeed good. And just be encouraged and say, know that God loves you and he is on your side. Push past your pain. Hallelujah, push past your pain. And just know every dream that you have on the inside, yes, it will come to pass. You just got to trust God and believe on it. And if you feel like you jumped off the train, jump back on the train. So let God steer that train for you. Let him be the conductor of your life. Hallelujah. Let him conduct the traffic so you can go past. Let him conduct the traffic when the lights are all down. Woo, Jesus, thank you. When the lights fall down, let him direct and conduct the traffic to get you past. Go. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you and I bless you. I lift you up and give you the highest praise, oh God. I thank you for today and I thank you for every day. I thank you for loving us more than we love ourselves, God. I thank you for your son Jesus on the cross for our sins, that we may have everlasting life. You send thy word, thou shalt confess with our mouth before Jesus, and shall believe that you have raised your son Jesus from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Lord, we glorify you on today. We love you on today, Father God. Touch everyone that's on this prayer call, Father God. Touch Terry's father, brother, teeth in the name of Jesus, God. Do it right now for your glory, God. Touch those who have been sick and ill, God. Move, God, dear Lord. Move like never before, God. Touch Sister Lola, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Touch Evangelist Catherine, God. Do it right now for your glory, God. Touch my eye on today, God. Do it right now for your glory, God. Touch my throat, your eyes, dear Father. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Touch my eye, so limbs, God. Wake them up, Father. In the name of Jesus, God. Thank you, Father. We thank you, God, and we bless you, God. Touch everyone that's on this call, God. Go before our children on today, Father God. Hallelujah. Make every crooked path straight, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you, Father. Touch my pastor, Reverend Joshua Gooden today, Lord. Lord, we thank you and we bless you, God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Go in peace. Know that God is on your side and know that he loves you. He loves you more than you love yourself. And God is good, y'all. Have a wonderful day. Hope in God and know that you are victorious. I'll see you all on next Tuesday and share this broadcast. Bye.